Imagine waking up on a Sunday morning. You grab your phone off the nightstand, pour a cup of coffee, and you open your email.
Just a normal weekend, right?
Exactly.
Right.
But then you realize that every single patient file, every billing record, your entire schedule for your medical practice, it has all been locked behind a $5 million ransom demand.
Oh man, just the worst possible way to start a day.
It is a total nightmare. So you
Yeah.
panic, obviously. You dial your IT guy, hoping for like some kind of lifeline, and it just goes straight to voicemail.
Yeah, and the really scary part is that scenario. It's the reality for just an alarming number of healthcare practices today
Right.
because from the outside, a secure, completely IKEA compliant IT system looks, well, identical to a totally vulnerable one. You just don't realize you bought the vulnerable one until, you know, your systems are paralyzed and that legal countdown has already started ticking.
Which is exactly why we are here.
Yeah.
Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah.
Today, we are bringing you a crucial roadmap.
Yeah, a very important one.
All right. Our source material today is a really comprehensive guide from March 2026. It was published by Technegian, which is a managed IT provider based out of Orange County, California.
Yeah.
And the document is titled, How to Choose a High-Pay, Compliant IT Provider in Orange County. The 10 questions every healthcare practice must ask.
And I mean, this document is essentially a survival manual. The healthcare sector right now is facing just an unprecedented level of digital threat.
Oh, absolutely.
And the people managing the digital doors to your practice, they are pretty much the only thing standing between you and complete operational ruin.
So our mission for you today, listening to this deep dive, is to arm you with the precise, like laser-focused questions you need to expose fake, high-pay compliant IT providers.
Right, because there are a lot of them out there.
So many. I mean, almost every tech support company out there just slaps a HIPAA compliant badge on their website. But the difference between a genuinely compliant partner and, you know, a pretender who just bought a stock photo of a padlock for their homepage, that difference is literally a $1 million business survival decision. Okay, let's unpack this.
Well, to understand the sheer gravity of that decision, we first have to draw a really hard, unforgiving line between general IT and healthcare IT.
Right, they're not the same thing.
No, not at all. But it's a distinction that practice administrators frequently misunderstand. They often just assume that, you know, tech support is just tech support.
Yeah, I think people assume a general IT provider's fundamental job is just to keep the lights on. Like they manage your workstations, they make sure the Wi-Fi is running smoothly, they set up new employee email accounts.
Exactly.
If your printer jams, they come in and fix it. They're entirely focused on uptime.
Right, uptime is their whole world. But a healthcare IT provider, they have to do all of that normal stuff, plus they have to carry this immense, incredibly heavy layer of regulatory compliance.
That's a huge burden.
It really is intense documentation and just constant 24/7 readiness for an Office for Civil Rights or OCR investigation.
Yeah, and that regulatory layer, it really changes the DNA of every single technology decision your practice makes.
Totally. And the stakes here are actually quantified in the source material. And I have to say, the numbers are just staggering.
What are we looking at?
Well, as of the guide's publication in 2026, the average cost of a healthcare data breach has hit $7.42 million.
Wait, $7.5 million. Unbelievable.
That is the highest of any industry globally, by the way.
Wow.
And that is just the breach cost itself. On top of the forensic cleanup and all the lost revenue, you face regulatory penalties. Under the updated 2026 enforcement amounts, the maximum HIPAA penalty is $2.19 million per violation category per year.
Good grief. I mean, I think there's a really dangerous misconception out there that hackers and federal auditors are only hunting for massive, you know, multi-state hospital networks.
Oh, yeah. People think they're too small to be noticed.
Right. Like, why would they bother with a small clinic? But the source specifically calls out small dental practices, like those right there in Irvine.
Yeah, exactly.
The OCR has actually hit dental practices with fines ranging from $25,000 to $80,000 just for right of access violations.
It's brutal.
It is. And small practices are actually disproportionately targeted by ransomware gangs because, well, they typically have much weaker digital defenses. They are just the path of least resistance.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is entirely about liability. If a practice hires a non-compliant general IT provider and, say, that provider leaves a backdoor open that causes a breach,
Which happens all the time.
all the time. But the medical practice retains the ultimate legal responsibility. You simply cannot outsource your liability to your tech guy.
Yeah, you know, it makes me think about it like this. Hiring a general IT firm to manage a medical clinic is kind of like hiring a brilliant residential plumber to fix the hydraulic landing gear on a commercial airliner.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Right. Because, sure, they know pipes, they understand pressure and valves. But if they mess up a sink, your rug gets wet. If they mess up the plane's hydraulics, the plane crashes.
Exactly. The fallout is catastrophic, and the federal government is going to hold the airline responsible, not the plumber.
Because the stakes are that high, the most critical moment in your relationship with an IT provider happens before they ever even touch a keyboard. It happens at the contract phase.
Yes, the paperwork.
You absolutely have to demand they sign a HIPAA Business Associate Agreement, or a BAA.
Right, because under HIPAA law, anyone who creates, receives, maintains, or transmits protected health information, PHI, on behalf of your practice is legally considered a business associate.
And so they must sign that BAA.
They have to. It's not optional.
And the source actually outlines a massive red flag right here. If you sit down with an IT provider and they hesitate, or if they just brush it off and say, we don't need a BAA because we just fix the computers, we don't access patient data, you have to walk away immediately.
Run, don't walk. Any hesitation is just absolute proof that they don't understand the regulatory environment they're trying to sell services in.
Okay, but let me push back on this for a second, just to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
If an IT tech is really just resetting routers, configuring firewalls, maybe doing some back-end server maintenance, and they literally never open a patient's medical chart, I mean, why are they legally considered a business associate? They aren't looking at the x-rays.
Well, it comes down to the legal concept of potential access. The law views the infrastructure that holds the data as completely inseparable from the data itself.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so if an IT provider manages your network, your servers, your backups, or your email systems, they hold the keys to the castle. They have the potential to access PHI.
Right.
Whether they actually open a patient chart or not is legally irrelevant. By simply holding those keys, they are a business associate.
So they have the keys.
Yeah.
But your IT provider isn't the only one holding a set.
Far from it.
Your electronic health record system, your billing software, your cloud storage, they all touch PHI. And the guide points out that a staggering 82% of healthcare data breaches involve third-party risk management failures or cloud misconfigurations.
82%. That statistic should completely change how a practice views security.
It's massive.
It is. The threat isn't just external hackers in a basement somewhere. It's the vendors you willingly invited into your own network.
Wow.
So a genuinely compliant IT partner doesn't just sign their own BAA. They actively help you manage BAAs for all your third-party vendors.
Mm.
They monitor those external services for vulnerabilities, essentially acting as your digital border patrol.
Okay, so you have the contract signed. The BAAs are in place. The legal shield is up. But, I mean, a contract is just a promise on a piece of paper.
Right. Right. It's just words.
How do you actually know the IT provider is capable of doing the work? You have to move from legal promises to documented proof.
Exactly.
So, for starters, you need to ask if the IT provider has completed their own annual HIPAA risk analysis.
Yeah, it is a fundamental logic test. I mean, if an IT company doesn't perform a rigorous, documented risk analysis for their own internal operations, they certainly lack the expertise to do it for your practice.
That makes perfect sense. And it doesn't stop with just a single analysis. The source details the strict compliance documentation required. IPI mandates a minimum 6-year retention period for all compliance documents.
6 years.
Right. We're talking risk analyses, security policies, training records, and incident response plans. And this has to be a continuous, actively managed process.
Yeah, because OCR auditors can spot a fabricated paper trail from a mile away.
I'm sure they can.
If you just hand them some dusty 3-ring binder that your office manager frantically updated, you know, the week before the audit, you are going to be fined.
So what does this all mean? If I'm a practice owner, this means I can't just claim I'm secure. I have to prove what I did yesterday, what I did last month, and what I did 3 years ago to stay secure.
What's fascinating here is how the regulatory environment has recently shifted to enforce exactly that. The guide explicitly highlights that in 2026, the OCR really expanded its focus. Well, they don't just want to see a list of your identified risks anymore. They demand documentation of the specific actions taken to reduce each of those risks.
Oh, wow. So you have to show your work.
Exactly. During an OCR investigation, documentation is quite literally your only defense. The rule of thumb in healthcare compliance is just, if it isn't documented, it didn't happen.
To verify a provider can handle that burden, the guide actually suggests looking for independent verification. Like, don't just take their word for it. look for acronyms that actually mean something, like SOC2 Type 2, HHISS CSF, or ISO 27701.
Yeah, and let's break down why those specific certifications actually matter.
Please do.
So a SOC2 Type 2 certification, for instance, means an independent auditor didn't just look at their security policies on like one random Tuesday.
You're right.
The Type 2 part means the auditor observed the IT provider's operations over a continuous period of time, usually months, just to prove they actually follow their own security rules day in and day out.
That's intense.
It is. And HITRUST CSF is a framework specifically mapped to healthcare regulations, while ISO 27001 proves they have a globally recognized information security management system.
So those certifications are really the difference between a provider just saying, trust me, we're secure, and a third-party auditor saying, we verified they are secure.
Exactly. It's proof.
And if you want even more practical, localized proof, the guide actually advises asking for at least three local Orange County healthcare references.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
You want to call a medical group in Santa Ana or maybe a clinic in Newport Beach and ask them, has this provider actually helped you through an OCR investigation? How fast do they pick up the phone when a server crashes after hours?
Right, because the after hours response is incredibly critical. That is the exact window when the most severe technical attacks occur.
Of course.
Paperwork, BAAs, certifications, they are fantastic for appeasing auditors. They are legally essential. But a perfectly formatted BAA will not stop a Russian ransomware gang from brute forcing your servers at 2 a.m. on a Sunday.
Which brings us right back to our opening nightmare scenario. The 2 a.m. ransomware test.
Yeah.
This is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
You must ask a prospective provider, do you provide 24/7 security monitoring?
Because ransomware does not care about your business hours.
Not at all. The majority of healthcare breaches happen on weekends or holidays. If your IT provider only monitors your systems from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, your practice is completely exposed during the exact windows when attackers prefer to strike.
It's like leaving the front door wide open all weekend.
Exactly. You need a 247 Security Operations Center, or a SOC, equipped with automated threat containment.
And while that SOC is monitoring the perimeter of your network, you also have to protect the data inside. SIPay requires data to be encrypted at rest and in transit.
Right.
And the guide notes that in 2026, the standard is TLS 1.2 or higher for data transmission.
But what does that actually look like in practice? How does TLS 1.2 protect a patient file moving from, say, a doctor's laptop to the server?
Well, think of TLS 1.2 as this opaque, heavily armored tunnel between your computer and the server. As the patient file travels through that tunnel, it is mathematically scrambled.
Okay.
So even if a hacker manages to intercept the data while it is in transit, all they get is random, undecipherable noise. It's useless to them.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And if an IT provider stutters or looks confused when you ask them about their specific encryption standards, you should end the meeting right then and there.
But let's assume the worst case scenario here. The encryption fails. A really sophisticated hacker breaches your perimeter. Everything goes dark.
The nightmare.
Right. At that point, your survival entirely depends on your digital safety net, your backup and disaster recovery infrastructure. The guide states that under IPA Rule 4370, disaster recovery contingency planning is legally required.
And the structure of those backups is what separates survival from a total devastating loss. Backups must be immutable and air-gapped.
I want to break those two terms down,
right?
Because they are basically the only things that prevent you from paying a $5 million ransom.
Yeah.
So immutable means the data cannot be altered, deleted, or encrypted by anyone. Think of an immutable backup, like a priceless artifact inside a museum display case.
Okay, I like that.
Your IT provider can look through the glass to read the data and restore your systems, but because of how the digital glass is built, neither they nor a ransomware gang can actually reach inside to change or destroy the actual artifact.
That's a great analogy. And air-gapped means physically or logically severing the connection between your primary network and your backup storage.
So they aren't touching.
Right. Ransomware is designed to spread across a network like a wildfire, actively seeking out backups to destroy them so you are forced to pay the ransom. If the backup is air-gapped, the ransomware just reaches a dead end. It physically cannot cross the gap to burn the backup down.
But having that museum case and that air gap isn't enough if you don't know how to use them. Per IPA Rule 4370, disaster recovery must be tested.
It has to be tested, yes.
In the 2026 threat environment, the guide makes it clear that quarterly testing is the absolute minimum. You have to ask these providers the hard question. What is the exact recovery time, if all systems are encrypted.
Yeah, and a premier provider like Technigian tests full disaster recovery procedures quarterly. And because of those regular tests, they can actually guarantee that a practice can resume operations within hours of an incident.
Just hours.
Not days, not weeks, hours.
Which is crucial because you literally don't have weeks. If you are breached, a legal countdown timer starts ticking the exact second you discover the intrusion.
Yep.
Your incident response plan is immediately activated. You have exactly 60 days to notify patients. And if the breach affects more than 500 people, you have to notify the OCR and the media.
Right. An incident response plan is a strictly timed, unforgiving legal process. It is not just an IP department running around frantically scrambling to plug wires back in and reboot servers.
It's way more structured than that.
Much more. It requires digital forensics to determine exactly what was stolen, strict legal communication protocols, and breach notification support. If a prospective IT provider tells you, oh, don't worry, we'll figure it out if it happens, you are looking at a massive compliance violation just waiting to happen.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because mapping out this massive landscape, the 24/7 SOC monitoring, the immutable air-gapped backups tested quarterly, the intense 6-year documentation retention, managing BAAs for every vendor, it all sounds incredibly robust.
It does.
But it also sounds really expensive.
Well, it is a significant investment. We really have to look at the economics of compliance realistically, because that is the exact friction every practice owner feels when looking at the monthly bill.
Yeah, the guide actually breaks down the cost for us. Comprehensive IPOA compliant managed IT typically costs between $150 and $300 per user per month. So if you're a small practice with, say, 5 to 50 employees, you're looking at maybe $2,000 to $5,000 a month. A business owner sees that and immediately compares it to the guy down the street offering general IT for $500 a month.
Right. But the general IT firm is cheaper up front precisely because they are stripping away the entire compliance layer.
They're doing the hard work.
Exactly. They aren't conducting a rigorous risk analysis. They aren't tracking vendor BAAs. They aren't maintaining 6 years of audit-ready documentation or running a 247 SOC.
So you save a couple of $1,000s on your monthly bill, but those savings instantly vaporize the very second an OCR investigator knocks on your door or a hacker locks your system.
Gone in a flash.
Remember that $80,000 fine for the small dental practice?
Yeah.
Or the $7.42 million average breach cost? Suddenly, $3,000 a month for compliant IT looks like the absolute greatest insurance policy you could ever buy.
You're not just paying for someone to reset passwords. As the Technigian guide frames it, you are buying a compliance guarantee.
I love that phrase.
Yeah, you are buying the certainty that every single system is engineered to survive an OCR audit and a targeted cyber attack.
And for practices that actually already have an internal IT person on payroll, the guide mentions a really interesting solution called co-managed IT.
Oh yeah, this is a great setup.
This is where the internal team handles the day-to-day help desk tasks, the printer jams, the new employee setups, the frozen screens. But Technigians layers their specialized infrastructure on top of that.
Right.
They provide the 24/7 SOC, the quarterly disaster recovery testing, and the heavy compliance documentation that a small internal team just doesn't have the bandwidth to maintain.
It is a highly effective hybrid model. It really empowers your internal staff to focus on immediate workflow issues while offloading the severe regulatory and security liabilities to specialists who do nothing but healthcare IT.
To bring this all together for you listening, if you are running a healthcare practice in Orange County, whether you're a specialty clinic in Irvine, a bustling dental office in Newport Beach, or a large medical group in Santa Ana, selecting your IT provider is not a technology decision.
No, it's not.
It is a business survival decision. If you sit down with an IT vendor and they cannot confidently, easily answer these questions with documented proof, they are not a partner. They are a liability.
This raises an important question, though, and it's something I want you to really mull over as we wrap up today.
What's that?
Well, we mentioned earlier that 82% of healthcare data breaches involve third-party risk management failures.
Mm-hmm.
Our vendors are our biggest weak points.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Precisely. If the vast majority of our vulnerabilities come from the third-party software and vendors we use, does the future of healthcare security lie not in building taller digital walls, but in radically shrinking the number of software vendors a practice actually uses?
That's a really good point.
Because every new app, every new cloud service, every new billing tool introduces fresh legal and technical liability.
That is a fascinating tension. Do you consolidate and lock down to stay secure, or do you expand and risk a breach to provide more modern care?
Exactly.
What happens to medical innovation if practices become too terrified of third-party risk to adopt new, potentially life-saving technologies? Are we going to see a chilling effect on healthcare tech simply because the compliance burden has become just too heavy to bear?
It is an incredibly tough balancing act. And it makes having an expert IT partner someone who can actually manage that vendor risk for you so you can continue to innovate safely more critical than ever.
We're going to leave you to ponder that question today. Take a hard look at your own IT partners, audit their answers, and ask yourself if they are truly protecting your practice or just keeping the lights on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.